Okay? We will reap. If we faint not, let's keep on in the world. Okay, now. Alright, to begin today, I just want to ask, okay, this is participation time, alright? What qualifies a person to be a president, since we just gone through the presidential election, right? Alright, what kind of characteristics are you looking for? Okay, on this side, what characteristics are you looking for? What kind of person do you think a president should be? Anyone?
Honest.
Okay, honest. What else?
Done public service.
Okay, what else? Know the internal and external of the country, okay? Anyone else on this side? Yes, Angel? Must be tall, huh? Must be a leader. Is it? Is it? Okay, must be a leader, okay? What about this side? What would you look for in a president?
Must have confidence for the future,
okay? What else? Grow palm trees? What else?
Protect the reserves.
This Filipino is Singaporean trained. What else? Willing to serve, okay? What else?
Take public transport
every day. I think the Secret Service would be not a Secret Service. Okay, we've got honest, must be willing to serve, must have done public service. Must protect the reserves, must have confidence for the future, must wear glasses, don't know. Okay. Huh? Must be tan. Okay. Cannot be chan. Or sing. Okay. Now let us chip a little. What will qualify a person to be a mechanic? A mechanic. No, you know it's a mechanic, a car mechanic. Okay, down this side. Mechanic.
Hands-on person,
okay. Know the parts of a car, okay. A mechanic must know the parts of a car, right? You wouldn't trust a mechanic, they don't even know them. Okay, what else?
Knows how to drive.
Why? Okay, do you have a problem? Do you realize that many of the technicians that work in the aeroplanes don't know how to fly an aeroplane?
Yeah.
Think about that. So the next time you want to go back to Philippines, you better think, do you know how to drive a plane? Okay. What other things that you look for in a mechanic? Okay, what, he must know the parts of a car, he must be a hands-on person. What else?
A trained person.
Okay, obviously you want to. Okay, what about a diver? What would you look for a diver? Knows how to swim, yeah? That would be a good one. What else? No, sir? Okay. Knows the water currents. Okay, possibly. But usually for divers, are they trained in that? I don't know. Okay, you need to know the physiology of a body under pressure. Okay, Uncle Roland have done diving before, so he knows. Okay, now, we're looking at the characteristics, alright, of these different people. The president must be tan, or must be... Generally, when you look for someone to work for you, or someone in public office, for example, there will be certain characteristics that you would have to look for in the person. Because, for example, if it's a president, but he doesn't have any experience at all, would you choose him? Okay, if he doesn't have any, as a mechanic, if he doesn't know how to drive a car, would you choose him? Okay, that one. Generally, mechanics know how to drive, generally. I use the aeroplane. Technicians for aeroplane, they don't know how to drive an aeroplane. Being a diver, there are certain characteristics, okay? Now, looking at the Bible, can I say this? Generally, if we look at the underlying, many bosses actually look for workers with not just skills, but they also look at character. What kind of a person is he? Okay. Now, it is said that in Singapore, most of the people who would do to be a medical doctor Apparently, they don't just look for straight A's. They also look at who you are as a person. So through the interview, they may ask certain questions and see how you actually answer them. Okay? Can I say this as you look at it? We all have our expectations of a certain type of person to fit a job. What do you think God looks at when He chooses a servant to do His will? Can I say this? All of us, when we become Christians, are under the headship of Christ. Christ is our master. We become His servants. And Christ wants to mold us into a pattern so that we can be the type of servant that God wants us to be. God chooses the type of servants He needs. Just as a boss chooses the type of people to work for him, the Lord wants us to be the type of people to work for Him. When we become Christians, we came as we were, right? In order for us to be a Christian, we need to come as we are. But when we are Christians, we need to become what He is. I say that again. When we come to be Christians, we need to come as we are. Okay? But when we are Christians, we need to become as He is. Alright? And the reason is, turn to 2 Timothy 3:17. Alright? It's not in your list of 2 Timothy 3:17. I think we all know the verse. 2 Timothy 3:17. Why do we have to become like the Lord Jesus Christ? It is interesting when you join the army, when you join different... One of the reasons, you know why when you join the Singapore Armed Forces, they shave off your hair? One of the things I was taught was they want to break your personality so that all of you fight in one. It's a nightmare for parents. It's a nightmare for parents because sometimes from a distance you can recognize your son or your son, only son, and as a, by the hair. But when you go to the army, all of them got the same hairstyle. It's a nightmare. Okay, well, Robert and Mr. Jamal yesterday, they are passing out, right? Were you able to recognize him? No. Why? Because of his bald head, you know? Because why they need to break the personality of the people coming so that they can all fight together. Whether you are a PhD or you are a O-level or whatever, they will all have to fight together as one. Okay, now why does Jesus want to change us? In 2 Timothy 3:17, let's read together. Alright, ready? 1, 2, begin. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The word truly furnished and perfect is very important. The purpose of the Christian life, the purpose of Bible study, the purpose of prayer, is that God can change us from the inside. I shared this morning in the soul winning that, you know, it is interesting that we read the Bible on a regular basis. I was talking to a person this week, and he was saying that also and so does a lot of praying, and they do a lot of Bible reading, but the point I wanted to bring across during that time was, if a person is doing a lot of Bible reading and prayer, would not you think that the person's life will become more and more like Jesus Christ? Would that be a logical conclusion? If you're spending a lot of time reading the Bible, your thinking will constantly be changed into the likeness of Christ. Right? Now, therefore, it becomes a problem if we spend so much time with Christ and yet there is no change. Does that make sense? Okay, if you are close, in the past they have this master and disciple, all right, in the China or whatever, and whatever the master knows, the disciples will soon come to know, because the disciple actually watches the master, and the disciple will learn from the master, unless it's a lazy disciple. Can I say this? As Christians, the longer we spend time in God's Word, the more we pray, Did you realize that we ought to be changing into the likeness of Jesus Christ? The Bible says this. If you know 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There are four things the Bible does for doctrine, for teaching you what is right, for reproof, for telling you what is wrong, for correction, for telling you how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness, telling you how to stay right. And so if you allow God's word to do that for you, don't you think that you'll be more and more like Jesus Christ? And in verse 17, the Bible says, so that the man of God, the Christian, in this situation, Timothy, will be perfect. The word perfect means to be mature. Have you spoken to a man who is, or a lady who is very old but immature? You would have think that all the years of experience would have made this lady or this man more mature, right? And then when you talk to him after about 2 minutes, you don't want to talk to him, you want to walk home. Why? Because he's just spilling out something that the public service, how do you call it, the garbage disposal will take and throw. We need to grow. And not only grow, notice if you have American version King James, it's interesting, alright, it's on the band. You have thoroughly. You know the King James from England have truly. There is a difference. The word truly means you are changed from the inside. Thoroughly means complete, but truly makes it clear Jesus changes us from the inside. Jesus is not interested in outward rehabilitation only. He's not interested in outward habitual change. He's interested in inward heart change. Does that make sense? And so when a man of God is completely changed from the inside, the Bible says he will be ready for every good work. Okay? Can I say, as much as we have a vision for 1,000 souls, I repeated that a few times, but repeat again, we are not in a numbers game. We are involved, we are interested in people's lives changing. The numbers will come when our lives change. Because there's no point trying to work, but we will stop changing in our lives. Does that make sense? God wants our life to change. God gives us His idea of a servant of God who will qualify for service in this kingdom. Three things. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. What are some of the characteristics of the servant of God that will qualify him or her for the kingdom of God? Can I say this? If this is not in your life, genuine faith will say, Lord, it's not in my life. I want to be like you. Does that make sense? It's not a discouragement to anyone. It's just saying, if it's not there, Lord, I want to be like that. Okay? God uses the mirror of His word to show us who we are so that we can become who He is. Alright? So, number one, in Luke chapter 22 to 25, in the context of Luke 22, this is in the context of the Last Supper. Jesus was going to be crucified the next day. Alright? And if you read, one of the most amazing things is, what were they discussing about in 21 and 22? Jesus was telling him that someone is going to betray me. Someone, one of you are going to betray me. And of course, who's that? At the same time, what else were they quarreling about in verse 24? What else were they quarreling about? The Bible says there was a strife. The word strife means quarrelsome. There was a strife. There was a tension. Have you ever come to a group of people before? The moment you step in, got opposition party. You know, there's something's happening here. I don't know what is it, but you know. You seem to be involved in a lot of this, Brother Samson. And sometimes there are two whatever there, and okay, have you seen cartoons where they draw people when they look at each other, got daggers on? Have you seen those cartoons? I remember seeing that in Lao Fu Zi, you know Lao Fu Zi, Old Master Q, and those kind of comic cartoons, and they look at you, got these daggers on you. And that's what the disciples of Jesus Christ were having that problem. And the Bible says they were tense. Alright, there was tension. The strife was tension among them. And what was the cause of the tension? Which of them should be considered the greatest? Which of them should be considered the greatest? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, all-knowing. Can you imagine? Jesus told him, guys, I'm going to die. Why are you guys going to betray me? And all he could think about is, you're not greater, I'm the greatest. Can you imagine the perhaps disappointment of the Savior? This is a group of people who will lead the church. This is a group of apostles who will change the world. And this is a group of people who says, I'm better than you. You know what? That spells hope for us. Does that make sense? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If the disciples of Jesus Christ were like that, and they could change the world. Of course, there are certain reasons why they changed the world, right? It means God can use anyone. The disciples were just like us. They were just like us. But the difference is the disciples were willing to give themselves totally to the point of death for Christ. Okay, what did Jesus teach them? What is God's idea of a servant? Look at verse 22. After they were fighting over this, and Jesus, of course, realized this was happening, said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. The word kings of the Gentiles, Jesus in his mind was referring to the Roman people, the Roman emperor, the Roman centurions, that they exercised the authority over the Jews. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. The word benefactors literally means the contributor, the well-known. So-and-so has been the contributor of something. Jesus used it as an irony. You know what's an irony? Something that is true, but it actually has a different meaning to it. Example, when you think about benefactor, what does a benefactor do? Benefit. You know what's a benefit? Benefit means something good done to someone, right? So a benefactor is someone who does something good for you. Okay? And so, the word benefactor means someone who does something good for you. Okay? Jesus is saying the kings of the Gentiles, referring to the Roman soldiers, they rule over the Jews and call themselves someone that does something good for them. So Jesus is using that as a contradiction. But in the principle, Jesus is saying this, in the world, the leadership principle is, if I'm in charge, you listen to me. I'm the one who will teach you. Does that make sense? And that was what they were thinking of, who should be the greatest. I'm the greatest apostle. Peter is the fastest talker. Different people have different skills, and so they think that they are the best. This also literally means that the benefactor would expect people to like roll out the red carpet for them. No, the Romans came. Like when you remember the Japanese when they came? They conquered Singapore. What are we supposed to do every time they see the Japanese? Right? We're supposed to do this. I don't know whether in India. Did they go to India? The Japanese? No, you guys are spared. Okay, they went to the Philippines, right? You all have to do that? Don't know.
No, yes.
You did that? Yeah, you did. Okay. Alright, so you got to do that. And they're supposed to be the benefactors. Because of us, we will free you from Western imperialism. Or something like this, you know. But they oppress the people. What does Jesus say? Jesus said in 6 words. He said this, the world's people exercise leadership this way. Then he looked at his disciples and he said in verse 26, but ye shall not be so. You know, when I read this, I taught this in Friday night. I just want to expand it a little bit. You know what Jesus means? I absolutely do not want the people that are called by my name to ever have the attitude of the leaders of this world. That you would think that because you are in a position of authority, that you lord over people and think that you are better than others in any way. Does that make sense? And this, the first point is, the servant of God will therefore, in the light of Jesus' teaching, reject recognition. Because Jesus, in no uncertain terms, said, the people of this world, that's how they behave, I don't want that to be found in my church, in my group of people who call me as the servant, or as Christians. A genuine servant of God will not want the recognition, but he or she is willing to do the work of the Lord. And if the recognition comes to them, you know what? They don't even want to bring it upon themselves. You know, some people are very modest. Do you know why Jesus put in? I'll be honest. As I did this, I was asking myself, Lord, why did you put this in as a requirement for your servants? Those people who claim to serve Jesus. And then the Lord, in this word, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. And Jesus was very clear. The reason for that is, I don't want pride to be part of my people. Because the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And because I think I'm in charge, I'm the one. You know, it's very easy for a pastor. Can I give you a secret? It's only kept within here. Sometimes I use my influence as pastor. In a good way, okay? I don't abuse it. Usually, in some situations, I would just say, this is Pastor Johnny. Okay, wait. They will stop everything and talk to me, because I need to talk to them. Okay? Perhaps there's a need. Perhaps there's something in their life. And I'll just say, this pastor, I'm coming. And usually, they would so-called respect the pastor. And so, now we're praying, and God, like Paul, uses his Roman citizenship, alright? And we use what God gave to us for the good of people. But you know, God, you know what God told the pastor? You are not to be a lord over God's heritage, 1 Peter chapter 5, but to be an example to them. No one can tell you what to do in terms of different things. But God says, I am in no position, I do not have the authority to say, you go and do this, you go and do this, alright? I've seen bosses who say, can you make coffee for me, that kind of thing. I will never ask you to do that, unless you want to do that, okay? But I hope you understand what I'm saying. The attitude and the mentality of a servant of Christ is that I do not want any of this. Because why? For two reasons. One, pride will come in. But number two, we need to follow Jesus' example. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. What did Jesus teach his people? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Do you realize that in all of the Gospels, this is the only time Jesus said, this is the only time that Jesus ever said, learn this of me. This is the only time he said, follow me, because I'm weak and lowly in heart. Then I was meditating on this, and do you realize why Jesus doesn't want pride in his church? Because pride was a downfall of Satan. It destroyed the entire universe of people. Because God has come to change lives. But he knows that the very first thing that people need to get rid of is pride. And that's why he had to teach us humility by his own example. And that's why he says, and he made it a rule for his disciples, servants who will follow Jesus, you are not to be like the thinking of this world. You're not to have the thinking of this world. The world's thinking is like so. The leaders, people are supposed to follow leaders. You, as leaders, are to take a different way of thinking. All right? We will talk about that later. Alright, so in Matthew chapter 6 verse 2, you know, when a person actually does that, they say, no, I'm a leader, so I'm in charge. Okay, so Jesus said, so what happens to that person? When a person aims for the kind of recognition or perhaps pat on the back or praise, what does God say? Matthew 6 verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what Jesus said? You want the praise of men, and men praise you? Just like Steve Jobs right now, men praise him. Right? But he doesn't get the praise of God. That's what I'm saying. If you win the praise of... And Steve Jobs, in some of his contribution and all that, many of the people are saying, oh, he's a nice guy. He takes care of his family, etc. Those are good things. And people can praise him for that. But what about God? Does God praise him for what is... He may have done a lot of good. And this is an interesting thing. You may have done a lot of good. But if you don't do it in the name of Jesus and for his glory, Jesus will say, I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7. Okay? Now, any questions up today? I don't really ask questions during messages, but I hope you understand what I'm trying. God wants us to be a servant who won't have that attitude. And so someone may say, Pastor, does that mean that we should not give encouragement? The Bible didn't say that. In fact, the Bible says, let another man praise thee. In other words, praise of self should never come out from your own lips. Okay? But you know what? When you do a good job, people can see. And you know what should their praise be? Thank God for you. Thank God for you. God ought to come first. Does that make sense? And God wants us to have that kind of... Look at Proverbs 27 verse 2. I think it's inside your word. But let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thy own lips. There must be two things. There needs to be praise given. Notice in this verse. You need to praise people. Let's put it this way. When we do a good job, we would like people to kind of encourage us. And that's why as pastor, I believe in that. And the children's ministry did a good job. Alright? And I know also the children's ministry people in there, they don't want that kind of thing. They just want, okay, fine, you can mention it. But I know I don't want any, like, car, bring them out, give them bouquets of flowers kind of thing, and we're trying maybe a car or something, toy car or something like this. I don't believe they want that. You know, I don't believe they live for that. They live for Christ. Amen? And thank God that we have a church that wants to live for Christ. But you know, at the same time, we need to recognize that. But the Bible says it must not come from our own lips. Because let another man praise it and not thy own mouth. The strength not thy own lips. Praise should always come from someone else. A Christian will not want any recognition, but you know what? They want the glory to go to God. If ambassador grows, then glory to God. If ambassador doesn't grow, then we need to look at ourselves. Are we the hindrance? Okay? I'll read this, and I want us to listen to this message in this way. I just want to share with you what God says. What are the principles of His servants? Because I know that God is going to put in your hearts areas of service to serve Him. But we need to focus on what God wants to change us from the inside. Spurgeon said this, who are we that we should receive praise? Who are we that we should receive praise where Jesus received spit? Jesus goes so far as to say, if the world loves you, that means you are not from me. We need, as servants of Christ, to have that attitude whereby I'll serve, but God, it's you first. Whatever praise that may come to me, Lord, I'm not going to even think about it because I'm focusing on what you want me to do. Number one. Notice number two, the servant of God. Look at verse 26. After Jesus says, but ye shall not be so, he says, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. Okay? Now, so the Lord Jesus moves on. After he had given a very clear command, I do not want this in my people. But he moves on to say, but if you want to be great, he that is greatest among you, let him be as a younger. In other words, when you look at a young person, you probably look at him immature. And if you want to be great, God says you be as one of the younger ones. Example, like a president would tell the clerk, say, okay, I want you to go and do this, I want you to go and do this. And then what does the clerk do? Yes, sir. He goes and does it, right? Okay? Now, the younger here has to do with the lowest position. Lowest position or a fresh position, meaning that you're a new bird, a newbie. Okay? And so, don't act smart. Don't be a smart aleck. Not lex, huh? Don't be a smart aleck. In any situation, Jesus says, if you want to be the greatest among you, then be in the lowest position. He has the idea of immaturity with the intention that the person will have to prove himself. Okay, so that's what Jesus means. The word serve comes from the Greek word diakonos, which we get the word deacon from. Okay? And it's interesting, if you study the word diakonos means to be willing, listen, to do the most menial tasks. Diakonos means an attendant. You don't have a cloth. Is there a cloth? You know what's an attendant? In China, last time, they call it xiao'er. You know, xiao'er, you know, in the way, or waiter. What does a waiter do? What does a waiter in a restaurant do? Oh, can I, some water, sir? Peanuts, sir? You finish, sir? Can you go and pay the bill, sir? or whatever. He will be attendant. He will, usually when you go to a restaurant, the waitress or waiter will go around and look, right? Oh, he needs something. Then you move, right? That's what it means. In Acts chapter 6, remember what did the apostle said? God forbid that we should leave the word of God and prayer to serve tables. That's what it means. Diakonos. You know, second point. The servant of God will be willing to be an attendant to the master doing the most menial tasks. In other words, as a Christian, washing the toilet is no problem. Cleaning up after someone is no problem. Whatever that is necessary to do is no problem. Tying water bombs is no problem. Getting wet is no problem. Doing whatever that it takes is no problem for a person with a heart to serve Jesus. Does that make sense? But can I say this? Oftentimes it's easier to serve Jesus. But you know what is the difficult part? Is to serve others. Amen?
Amen.
It's easier to serve Jesus doing the tasks. It's much harder to serve people. Do you realize what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 13? I think you have it there. Is it there? Galatians 5:13. Let's read together. This is what Paul says. And I'm going to show you something that is... After I study, I ask my wife to come. Hey, you look at this first. Let's read together. Galatians 5:13. Ready, 1, 2, begin. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What do you mean by serve one another? Did Paul mean to mop the floor? Did Paul mean to fix the light? Did Paul mean to do other things? No, he said serve one another in the church. Here's an interesting thing. Just now I talked to you about serve. The word serve in Luke chapter 22 comes from the Greek word diakonos, okay? Which means an attendant. Do you know what the serve in Galatians 5:13? You know what's a Greek word? Are you ready? Doulos. Doulos. You know what doulos is? Born slave. Diakonos is an attendant. You deal with the menial tasks. Galatians 5:13. When you serve someone, it is to be that I'm willing to give my life for you. Doulos. Don't believe me? Go and find out the word. That struck me. You know why? When I do things, I can do it excellently. But when I serve people, I give myself. When I serve people, I give myself. And that's what Jesus is telling His disciples. Remember in John chapter 13, 34, 35, the Last Supper, a new commandment I gave unto you, that ye agape one another, that as I have agape you, unconditionally love you. And Paul reinforces what Jesus said in Luke 22, by doulos, serve one another. Or by love, agape, let your service be sacrificial. Oh, that a servant of God in God's church would love each other enough to say, whatever it takes, Brother June, I'll do for you. If it's in the middle of the night, that's why my handphone is on. For your information, my wife don't like it sometimes because it once I always wake up earlier than her my alarm clock is irritating. It doesn't know how to control itself in terms of volume. When it rings the loudest. You know, one of the things, my handphone is always beside me. I've received SMSs in the middle of the night. You know why? Because a shepherd gave his life for the sheep. It's not me, I know Jesus. But the Lord taught me one thing, and I hope to be able to encourage you. Christians, we need to love one another to the point that sleep is no longer important. Rest is no longer important. If you need something, I'm there. By love. This is Jesus' example, and I say I want servants to do that. You know why the New Testament church exploded? Because the disciples were willing to lay down their lives for Christ. Amen? And the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, and they loved one. They even sold their possessions. No, God is not teaching communism, okay? But you know, the disciples loved one another so much that, hey, you have a need. I don't have, but you know what they did? Think about this. In the first century, maybe someone has a need. I don't have it by me. You know what they did? They sell their possessions so that they can raise the funds to supply the need. It's like if I'm hungry or you're hungry, if I'm hungry, I'm always hungry, okay? And you know that I have a need, but you don't have and you have only $5 maybe for your lunch. And you say, Pastor, because you're always hungry, I can skip my lunch, I give you my $5. It's okay if I don't eat. That's the type of love Jesus is talking about. But Brother Johnny, that's ideal. No, that's biblical love. I can dare say, every mom and dad does that on a regular basis. At least in the beginning years of their children's life. Example, if a baby wants to drink at 3 a.m., does mom get up? Usually, dad will say, Mom, 3 a.m., go. Me and my wife, we rotate. If the baby wakes up earlier, let's say 2 a.m., 3 a.m., it's her job. After 3 a.m., it's my job. You know why? I got to wake up and go to work. So I wake up. So we kind of have division of labor there. All right? But you know, you can sacrifice your sleep because otherwise your baby will let you sleep. Right? Or if your child is sick, dads and moms who are concerned for their children, they would keep vigil. Maybe they're concerned. Fever is a big issue for a lot of parents, right? And they want to make sure there's no brain damage and all that. And you will stay awake no matter how tired you are. You drink coffee, you drink Red Bull, you drink whatever, so that you can take care of your child. That's unconditional love. Children, don't ever in your life forget that. Because if your parent don't care about you, you won't be like that now. I know of someone whom someone close when the children were having fever, the wife was in the disco and the husband was working. That's not God's love. You know, Christians, we need to be able to look at one another and say, I love you, and whatever you need, I'll do my best to supply you. If I can't, as pastor, I don't have much, but you know what? I can pray for you. I can bring you before the throne of someone who has everything to supply your needs. You know, many of you have your needs supplied because someone prayed for you, or even someone gave. And I think some of you care enough. Sometimes when we are in need, you guys came over. You know, that is the pattern of the early church. When there's a need, someone else is there to meet that need. Okay? I want you to notice the examples of the Lord Jesus. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Just the example of Jesus, and it's interesting. I think you all know that. The example of Jesus washing the feet. Washing the feet. In John chapter 13, and verse number 5, verse number 4, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took the towel and girded himself. What Jesus did in this, he rises from supper, he laid aside his garments, took up a towel and girded himself, all expresses the actions of a slave. The washing of feet is reserved for slaves. And these slaves is bought by the master, don't get paid, only food and lodging. And if he escapes, they can either whip him or kill him. Because slaves are possession to the masters during that time. That sets a bit of context for us. That Jesus was willing to slip into this role of a slave to wash the disciples' feet. When Jesus says, by love, serve one another through the inspiration of God, he's not joking, and he set the example at the creator of the universe to be able to come down as low as a slave to serve disciples that were fighting among themselves who's supposed to be greater. You know, as you go on, you see, he said one thing in verse 30, he called me Master and Lord. He said, well, for so I am. Jesus knew he was the master. He knew that. He is trying to teach this. If I then, this is what Jesus told the disciples, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you know what he says? This is for the church. You ought to wash one another's feet. Anything happens to you, ought to be my concern. Anything happens to me, ought to be those people who are joining the church. We want to be like Christ. That's why, but you know, when you join the church, it's not about ourselves anymore. It's about we together living for God. We together living for God. Like, is it a children's ministry? Everyone was doing different things, fetching people, getting things done, in order to get people to Christ. We serving God together. And we ought to take care of, as much as if something happened in the house, we must be willing to reach out. Without reservation, because the word love, biblical love, is unconditional love. Unconditional love. Jesus said, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And Jesus said this, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. In other words, you know what Jesus is saying? If I am your Savior, and I am your Master, and I am your Lord, and I am willing to do this, you are not greater than me. I use the word jolly well, be willing to get down as the master to do the same. That's what Jesus wants us to do. This, can I say this? In your workplace, you adopt the thinking of the master, you can influence your office for Christ. Amen? Yes, it will be a bit more tiring. It's a bit more inconvenient. But you will definitely be Christ-like. And people will see that. They will see that. Why? Because you are adopting the attitude of Christ. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. You know, in verse 17, if you know these things, you'll be happy if you do them. Can I say this? Some of us may not be happy totally. Why? Because we don't have that free expression of Jesus' love in our hearts. And Jesus wants us to love Him. God's idea of a servant, that He'll be willing to do the most menial tasks, even including serving another person. Can you think of one person that when you look at the person, it's like, no, I'm not going to serve that person. You know what Jesus said to Judas Iscariot? Friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? And it's interesting that Jesus said, friend, not in an insulting way, but in an affectionate way. Friend, is this how you will betray the Son of Man? Do you realize God spiritually in Matthew 27 was still trying to convict Judas of the sin? Remember he went to the Pharisees? Remember he said, I have betrayed innocent blood? What do you think that is? That's conviction. You know what the problem with that conviction? He went to the wrong source for help. He went to the world. If you feel that Rajan, I'm not like that, and yeah, that's me, you know. That is repentance is of the world. Genuine repentance will always turn you back to Christ. Always, always, always. Can I say this? If you want to know whether it's from God or from the world or from your flesh, if whatever decisions you make turn you back to God, or tells you need to go back to your Bible reading, you need to go back to loving one another, you need to go back to obedience to God, that's from God. Because the Holy Spirit will always work consistent with the Bible. However, if what you think, if this is the case, then forget it. That's from the world. God doesn't want that. You need to come back to Christ. Okay. And finally, in Luke chapter 27, whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat. So Jesus is saying, who is greater, the person who is eating at the restaurant, or the person who serves? Now, who's greater, logically speaking? The person who is eating, right? You know what Jesus says? But I'm he that serves. I'm the one that's serving. He's greater in the world's mind, but Jesus, I'm the one serving. You know what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples? Just imagine yourself at the backbencher looking on. You will say, Jesus got you there. No, you know what Jesus wants us to understand? He says that, yeah, the world thinks this is great, but you need to think what God thinks is great. One of my vision for Ambassador, I believe it's a biblical vision, the Ambassador Baptist Church will be a servant church. A servant church. A church that serves. That's why even people who come who are not members, we need to care for them as much as you can too. Because we are to be a servant church. A servant church. A church that loves Jesus and will do as He says. Number three, the servant of God follows the servant attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the attitude of this world. Because the attitude of saying the person who is sitting at the table is greater, but Jesus says, I'm the one that serves. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll be finishing soon. Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's interesting, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, because if we follow the thinking of this world, our mind, we will be proud. But when we follow the thinking of Jesus, Romans chapter 12 verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's why I'm teaching you from God's word, Jesus' characteristics that He wants His servants to have. Does that make sense? We need to put aside and repent of our worldly thinking and put on what Jesus is saying. So here, let the mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I had a hard time understanding this. What does it mean to be robbery with God? Simply means, Jesus knew He was God, but He did not consider it snatched from Him when He became a servant. Does that make sense? Jesus knew He is God, and He's all the fullness of the Godhead dwell in Him bodily. But He didn't think that it was kind of snatched away from Him when He became a servant. In other words, His attitude was voluntary submission. Does that make sense? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I'm equal with God, but you know what? This is equal work. I'm willing to go down. In other words, if you look at in Greek, it's called the kenosis chapter, an outpouring whereby Jesus emptied Himself. You know, Jesus says here, number one, in the 3 points in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, 3 point number one, He was willing to surrender His right. He was willing to surrender His right. Our Savior was... Do you realize Jesus didn't deserve to die? He has every right to live. He surrendered His right at the cross. He surrendered His right at the cross. Do you know what He received as He was surrendering His right? As He was doing the right thing on the cross, do you know what the people said to Him? If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe Him. He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Let Jesus, the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe Him. He was insulted as He was obeying Christ. How many times are you looked down upon because you do what was right? Follow the example of Christ. Do you realize one thing? If you would just submit to that in the name of Christ, you'd be surprised what God can do through your submission. Well, I've seen that happen again and again. As God allowed me to experience firsthand, I'm teaching you not just. It's what we call. You need to experience what Jesus means here. He was willing to surrender his right at the cross to die. But he said, I don't think it's robbery. I don't think anyone took it away from me. I just surrender it. And that's at number one. But in verse 7, he says, but made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Can you imagine? How many of you watched, what was it? Bosses? Undercover Boss. So you may. It's an interesting documentary whereby CEOs would actually go undercover and work as a normal worker to go into the different companies that they own and then kind of work with those people and try to find out their problems and try to make changes. Undercover Boss. The Lord Jesus wasn't undercover. He was who He is. He came. But you know what? He was God who could be, I want to be in England. He's there. I want to back to be Philippines. He's there. He constrained himself in the likeness of man. Do you realize that Jesus even had to learn things? Does God have to learn? The Bible said, which I'll talk on to the next one. But here in the point is, Jesus was so humble, he made himself no reputation. No reputation. I said this morning, I say it again, I hope this is the attitude of every one of us. If people come to church because of Pastor Johnny, I failed. But if people come to Ambassador because it's a church that honors Christ, then we have honored God. It's not about man. It's about Christ. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the people in charge. It's about Christ. It's about Him. It's about we giving glory to Him, serving Him, giving everything we've got to Him. Why? Because He deserves it. He gave everything for us. And that's what we need. We need a group of Christians who say, Lord, it's not me, it's You. Lord, it's not what I want, it's You. What You want. Lord, it's not my desires, but Your desire. Not my will, Lord, but what? Thine be done. We need a group of Christians. And Jesus said He made Himself of no reputation and took Himself upon the form of a servant. What form of a servant has the idea? He took Himself, he put Himself everything, not just the form, but the attitudes and the characteristics of a servant. And in verse 8, He was willing to surrender His right. He was humble. And number 8, there was complete obedience in His life. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, the most humiliating, the most painful death ever invented by man. You know what? The King of the universe said, if that's the kind of death I need to save men, I will go through it. Do you realize there's a reason? Let's turn to Colossians. I'll show you why Jesus must be nailed to the cross. He was fulfilling something in His time that sometimes we might miss in our Bible. Colossians chapter 2, I believe. Yes, Colossians chapter 2. Jesus had to be nailed on the cross. Some people say, why don't Jesus be hanged or whatever? But you know what? In Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He made alive, Colossians 2 verse 13, hath He made alive together with Him, forgiving you all your trespasses. Right? How? Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. This is a vital truth. Alright? Now, during those times when there is a contract, once the contract has been fulfilled, what they do is they take a piece of paper, they go to the door, and they put a nail through. Okay? How many of you go to Zita shop, those shops? You know those are shops that sell food and all that? They will have a sharp little thing here. After the receipt has been paid, they put it down there. That's what it means! Our debt of sin has been nailed to the cross. And Jesus has removed. It's been paid for. You can leave the restaurant without worrying about pay. It's been paid for. Does that make sense? That's why Jesus had to. And Jesus said, if as a servant, that is the type of death I need to go through to pay your debt, I'm willing. John chapter 10. I lay down my life willingly. That's the attitude of a servant of Christ. Because it's the attitude of our Jesus, our Savior. You know, Christians, we need to have that mind. I've told my children, it's not about you, it's about how we can help one another. Let's put it this, how many of you have an easy life? Put out your hand in this life. Huh? How many of you have an easy life? You have an easy life in your JC? Some teacher. How many of you have an easy life? You know why God put us in the church? Or no Christians? And I believe one thing, for the Filipinos who came to Singapore, aren't you glad that you have a group of people that call themselves Christians and love one another? And that whenever you have a difficulty, you can call someone, they can help, they can pray. You know why Jesus put us in the church? To make life better for us. Because what I have, I can help you, and what you have, you can help me. Example, I don't have palabok, you know? Now you have. I don't have brandy that can, the sister can cook, and this, you need to taste that, you know, and we're going to have that at watch night, alright? So you guys can bring it on. So, you know, I enjoy the best, and it fills my stomach, but you know what? It gives me beauty to my life because I know of someone who knows something else, and I'm sure, can I say this? Every one of us can contribute something to someone else's life, amen? That's why God put us together. But Jesus says the way you need to not just hang out with one another, seal that, because number one, I've died for you, my blood has been poured out for you, and now I want you all to be glued together. How? By agape love and the attitude of a servant. When we come to church, it's not about me, it's about how I'm going to minister to someone. It's not about me. Yeah, someone may be sick here, someone may be carrying a heavy burden. You can sit with a person and pray without it for that person and demonstrate the love of Jesus. And I can tell you, by this, what did Jesus say? Shall all men know? They are my disciples. And they can come to a place and say, yeah, no, I've been in many churches, but no, this church is different. It's not different because of us, it's different because of what God can do through us. But we need to surrender ourselves to God. As we close, God is looking for a servant with these characteristics. Are we looking for recognition? Are we willing to do the most menial tasks? Are we willing to serve one another with love in our hearts? And by the way, regardless of what people have done to us, that's the hardest part. But you know what? Jesus is always my example. I hope it's yours too. Father, forgive them. You know what? You know what he was doing as he was saying, Father, forgive them? He was still dying for them. He didn't come down. He did not come down from the cross. He did not say, I'm not going to die for you. Some of the teaching, the Calvinist teaching said, Jesus died for everyone. God's not going to waste his life. And by the way, his life is infinite, and he has the power to pay for an infinite number of sinners' sins. Amen? He has the power to save us. He died for all. The Bible is very clear on that. But only those who will trust him will be saved. How do I apply this? Very quickly, as I serve the Lord, as you serve the Lord, determine in our lives, Lord, all glory must go to you. I will not take even one bit of that. Everything I do is yours. I will take none of it, number one. Number two, as I serve the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to serve you in doing the most menial tasks, the lowest task, whatever it takes. As I serve you, Lord, I'm willing to serve people, especially my brothers and sisters in the church. Do you realize Paul put that as a commandment on the Galatian church? As much as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Especially to Christians. Paul said, do that especially to Christians. Why are you brothers and sisters in the Lord? As I serve the Lord, last application, I would determine to have a servant attitude of service. I just need to add this. Can I just say, fathers, I've learned this recently. Not recently, but probably in the one long. I've known this principle for a long time. But I just want to apply it to fathers, okay? There may be some fathers in there, please listen. Fathers, listen. God expects you to die for your family. That means you are to serve your family with a Christ-like attitude. Whereby, if you have convenience, you are willing to give it up because of your family. I need to add that because I believe it's very... We need fathers who will rise up and love Jesus and say, God, if this is how you die for the church, if this is what you expect of us, Lord, I will be sacrificial. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. In other words, we are to love our wives and our family with a sacrificial attitude. We will supply whatever is necessary to make their lives better, and not just better, becoming more like Christ. Husbands, our role is not just to beautify our wives. Can I say that? You need to beautify them for Christ, that our families will be blameless, without spot. Okay? And wives, I've said that, so don't only go for the beautifying part. Work on being, if my husband loves me so much, just in case you say, pastor says you have to do this, therefore, please don't go. We need to still have a servant attitude, right? So you say, Lord, I'm going to pray for my husband. God, you help him, and I'll do what I can to support and encourage him. On the husband's side, if that's what God wants me to do, I'm going to change. I used to love my computer games, but no longer. I used to love to watch this, but no longer. I gave up soccer for my wife. Amen? I think my wife is worth more than soccer. Soccer is just a game that there's a ball that 22 grown men run around trying to chase. But there was something that I love. My wife knows that. But God had to work in my heart and said, is soccer more important than your wife? I thank God she stood with me. We need to thank God for our families. May we all as a church have a servant attitude. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Lord, it's not about us. God, it's about your word as we see it clearly from Luke chapter 22. Lord, we ask you today to make us your servant. We're going to be singing the servant song. Servant song. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to truly not only just do, Lord. Father, we know that service without the heart is not something that you look for. And God, we know that, Father, even in our own human relationships, when someone does something nice to us and they don't have the heart to do it, Father, it's very hard for us to even accept that. How much more you, Lord? Help us to serve you with all our hearts. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Is the Lord speaking to your heart? Of being just a servant for Christ? Just a servant, just doing whatever it takes. The first step, some of you may say, Lord has called me to full-time ministry. But you know what? The first thing is that we need to have a servant attitude from the start. The Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Of course, God has given you time and resources that you've got to manage for Him. But I say, Lord, it's all yours. I'm going to manage as a wise steward, a manager manages the things of the boss. And say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will make me the type of servant He wants me to be. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you and God, that God will make you a servant for Him. Not that you're not servants already, but it could be that I thank God for this church and many, many people. Like yesterday I saw in children's activity, different people doing different things despite the tiredness, people waking up very early to come and tie water bombs. That's a sacrifice that Jesus recognizes. But you know what? I hope that there will be nothing in the heart that says, well, I hope more people will help. But you know what? Just do it for the Lord. I thank God for the servant attitude, but they said, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will make me a better servant. Is there anyone? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray. Amen. I see the hand. I see those hands. Amen. Children, mothers, everywhere. Amen. Just put it down and pray. Is there anyone? How about fathers? Are you willing to serve? Amen. I see that hand. The fathers, are you willing to serve your family with a heart of service? Yes, there may be certain things you've got to make adjustments to. But you know what? The Lord didn't call us to a life of convenience. He calls to a life of commitment. Commitment for the kingdom of God, for Him, and for our families. Is there anyone more? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that I might be the type of servant God wants me to be. Is there anyone? Alright, if you're here right now, you're not sure you're going to heaven. The purpose of ambassador is to share the gospel with people. It's not for money, it's not for anything, it's just to share the gospel. And you say, Brother Johnny, I don't know. I know you talk about servanthood of Jesus, but I don't know what it is because I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be like Steve Jobs. I want to know at least where I'm going. And say, Brother Johnny, can you pray for me or get someone to share with me the gospel? Is there someone like that who says, I'm not sure if I die right now, I'll be in heaven? I can get a sister to share the gospel with a sister, a lady, a brother with a man. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me and get someone to talk to me. Say, someone like that. I'm not sure. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the people that put up their hands. Father, I pray that the servanthood of Christ will be our model of service for you. Lord, we see you rising up early as a servant to pray, make preparation. We see you through the day healing the sick, taking care of the poor, ministering to widows, raising the dead, doing all things, Lord. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, I believe, going everywhere, doing good. Lord, whoever met you was touched. Oh God, give us that servant attitude that we will see the need in every man. Lord, I pray for fathers that God, you will teach us to serve. Teach us, Lord, as husbands, as fathers of our families, to serve you and then to serve our loved ones under us. To do things, Lord, that commonly are not done. But God, to serve you because we love you and we love the people you've given to us. And Father, as mothers and wives, we might support that. That we ourselves, the wives, will have that servant attitude too. And God, we pray for Ambassador as a church that you will grant to us thy Holy Spirit of servanthood. That God, that through this church, there might be genuine servants who will serve wherever you call them to, whether it's at workplace, whether it's at school. That Father, they will continue to live for Christ and people will be drawn because of their good works for you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Help us to live by your word. It is what your word teaches us. Help us to have the submissive spirit to you, that all glory goes back to you, Lord. In Luke chapter 19, I believe, we are but unprofitable servants doing what the master wants us to do. God, we look forward to the day. Lord, we thank you that one day you will reward us. The service of Christ is not without reward. And Father, you say you will restore 100-fold. Help us to put our eyes on eternity. Lord, we pray for our loved ones right now. Help us through our servant attitude. We might win them to Christ too. And also be an influence, Lord, in our families. I will thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and just sing the song. The servant song. Okay. And praying that we all have that servant attitude. We all, it's the sixth stanza. Let's sing it from our hearts, alright? And pray that God will make us servants for Him.
Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are brothers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ life for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, feed the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow, furious in this journey true. When we sing to God,
Christ's love and last answer.
This is the last part. It's easy to serve someone. We need to put down our pride for someone to serve us. Okay, let us have the bold and let the Lord Jesus be in our life. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And Father, I pray we will walk out of this place a genuine servant of Christ. Not just having the actions, Father, of a servant, but an attitude of a servant. And Lord, when we look at Christ, our model, our example, help us to be like Him. Not just what He did, but who He was. And God, may we change into the likeness of Christ on a regular basis. Thank you for everyone that's come. I thank you for friends and visitors. Lord, prepare our hearts for next week. And may this week, Father, help us, Father, to think of one or two people that we might serve, that you might bring along our way, that we may genuinely, Father, with the love of Jesus in our hearts, to serve this person. And God, we pray for your encouragement to get that person to respond in a way, Father, that will honor you. And God, may we live Matthew 5:16 in our lives. Oh God, I pray for one who may be struggling. God, don't let it go until they find the peace in surrendering to you to be a genuine servant of Christ. Oh God, we pray. We pray that you will help us, even in our own lives, to be the type of servants to our family, our friends and our church, the place that you put us in. Help us to love you with all our hearts, Lord. Lord, you are our example. You are our example. Lord, put your mind in us that we might be a genuine servant for you. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in our life, brethren. Everyone, prepare our hearts for next week as well. I pray for those who will be going through the testimony sharing. I pray you give them boldness to share what you have done in their lives. I pray for one who is sick, and especially those perhaps who are undergoing difficulties in their lives right now, Father, I pray that they might firstly give you thanks because you are in charge, and number two, help them to seek your face with all their hearts, that you might help them to find the way of escape. Help us to know, Lord, nothing happens in our life without your permission, and therefore we can trust you, our living God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.